State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Yeah, vocab, that was my Fugees intro.
I was telling them how that shit came about. Man. So that was the only song I got to produce on that first album, vocab.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That second one, though. Ooh. What y'all did with that second one.
The score?
Yes.
That's the one I produced, that one.
You produced the whole album?
Yeah, me and my cousin Jerry Wonder.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's the beats I was cooking up in the basement.
Okay.
Right? The only beat we didn't do was Fuji La. Salam did that, and that beat was for Salam, Fat Joe. Man.
For real?
Yeah.
You got vocab?
That be crazy.
That beat was for Fat Joe.
When you hear, you know what I mean? Like, I just saw something yesterday where the dude who produced New York shit for Busta Rhymes, that was a beat that he tried to give to EPMD in the 80s.
Yeah.
They didn't take it. And 18 years later, he gave it to Busta Rhymes and it turned into a hit.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. Like, when
you could sit on shit, like, for years. I remember Quincy Jones was telling me, Austin Power. So they brought in him to score the shit. Man, he said everything he kept doing, he's like, yo, Clef, there was like, no. Because he was telling me the power of just constantly keeping your shit.
Yeah.
And if someone don't get it, they'll get it later. My nigga, this is like years later. He said, Clef, after these niggas told me that shit 70 times, it clicked that I had one sample. That of some horn shit I sampled from the 70s. He went and pulled it, and it was like, that's what we want. And that was it.
I was going
shit just
you
like that
shit too. You did a lot of movie soundtracks too.
That's the power though.
You need to move over.
Yeah, like life, all that.
Yeah, life. Shit,
Rwanda.
Friday.
Yeah, I did a lot of songs. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's how I thought I was gonna make money though.
Doing
I never thought
scoring movies.
Scoring film. That's what I wanted to be a composer.
My baby to Alabama this morning, so looking like I'm gonna have to go to the white man route. It's just the control.
That shit hard.
Can I say you one of the greatest, man?
Yo, every battle I see you watching, I see you like You remind me of me when I was in the cafeteria. I was telling them one of my greatest Da Vinci codes is I learned how to battle rap at a young age as a defense mechanism in the hood.
Right.
Coming from Haiti, like I had no choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love battle rap.
Yeah, it's very, very...
It's very entertaining, but it's
overstand.
Smart.
I overstand it.
I love it. You know what
I'm saying? We used to be number 10, but now we permanent one, and the battle lost my finger.
Mike became my arm.
I need this.
Yeah, man, Clef got that music, man, that happy shit.
Yeah.
Changed the whole vibe.
All the way. And I know that had to be... it had to be hard to do, you know, to have that freedom to just be like, man, I'm going to do something that ain't nobody else doing. That's always difficult. I'm sure that it had to be difficult when you coming with a sound and everybody like, what the fuck is this?
But you see, the thing with our perception coming from Haiti,
right?
Like I was saying, my whole life was like Slumdog Millionaire, City of Gods. So when I came to America, by the time I got to the projects, I was like, we made it. I heard them women singing some crazy shit. And then I took the congas and just started playing the shit. And I started making melodies. And we was like in this village, like mad poor, nothing, like crazy. But I used to take in the stray dogs. So all the dogs used to be like my family, you know what I'm saying,
right,
to you?
Right.
And then like DMX and shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying to you? And then I used to fucking be writing songs and sing shit for my dogs. Like,
oh, stray dog?
Yeah, like,
hold
you
on,
know
wait,
what I'm
wait,
saying?
Wait a minute.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
So you bring the stray dogs and they would be your audience?
Yeah,
and
my nigga. Because I'm six. Look, I don't have no Walt Disney.
Right.
I don't have no television. I don't have, so, nigga, we had the stray dogs in a cemetery. And the cemetery to me was a playpen.
Damn.
You feel me? Because when the shit would do thunder and lightning and shit, that's when we would go play the hide-go-seek shit.
At the cemetery.
Yeah, you feel me,
right,
though?
Right.
They caught me behind Dr. Jiggins.
Yo, I'm saying, my nigga, like,
Dr. Jiggins, I was hiding behind Dr. Jiggins' tombstone,
nigga,
found me.
Yo, it was like that.
Let me ask you this.
My nigga was like that.
You got to America, right? Whole different life. What was the shit that blew your mind?
Okay, before you answer that, which is going to be on top of the question that I want, because it picked back off what you said.
Yeah.
From the Caribbean, when you see that there's an extended life, when people say America is the land of opportunity, can you paint that picture so people could, who don't understand by living here, you are already winning?
Yeah, my nigga. So to your point, I was telling them I ain't know what lights were.
Right.
Lights to me was a lamp. I ain't know what a faucet was.
Mm-hmm.
Indoor plumbing.
Nigga, we ain't had napkins. Like, you want to take a shit, nigga, you got to go to the ravine.
Mm.
Like, the ravine is like you going to the fucking, like, the woods in the back, right? And then you go to the woods, my nigga, and then it's one big hole. You ever seen fucking Slumdog Millionaire?
Yes.
That's the ravine.
Mm.
That's where everybody got to take shit at.
Damn.
You feel what I'm saying?
Hey.
Yeah, this is where I'm from, my nigga. I ain't get here till I was 10. This was my reality.
Right.
Then you go to school. You got to walk, like, for miles, right? But then we had a donkey. So we would trade off on who would take the donkey.
Who would take the donkey?
Yeah, my nigga. So by the time... Okay, peek this. I never seen a white person ever in my life. Never seen a car. Never seen a plane. I ain't know what that shit was, right? So you got to think about this. I'm going to show you the reality. Niggas is like six.
He mic'd up? Okay, this shit getting deep, nigga. We need everything. Yeah, y'all sit y'all lad down, man. All they walking around, shit. Come on, hurry up. This shit getting good.
So niggas like
low sitting here.
Now, keep the reality, though, to your
point. Right.
So we would eat every like 4 days. That's when we get food. You feel me?
Every 4 days.
God damn, Clef, don't do me like that, man. Listen,
we get food every 4 days. But now we drink water. You understand? Because people don't understand substance of water is important. When they say Jesus fast 40 days and 40 nights, they ain't mention nothing about water.
Right?
So I gotta tell you this shit because it's gonna sound crazy, but this is our reality,
right?
So
hurry up, man. Hey, you listen to the damn stuff.
Is it okay if we just keep the mic right here? Do whatever you want, baby.
That's perfect.
Steve, man, you good. You got the right shirt on, though, I'll tell you that.
the Black President, fella Coochie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the nigga right there.
Joe know all of them.
Yeah, he on it.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So it's so crazy because when I was with, we started the Fuji tour
right.
to be continued this year.
Right.
And me and Lauren was talking. And she was like, nigga, when you used to tell me this shit, I used to think like you was exaggerating on some 3 trillion shit till Google came out and I would Google dirt pies. Cause I told her like we used to eat dirt from the floor.
Right.
And then she was like, not till Google came out, and I Googled this shit years later and was like, this nigga was telling the truth because she couldn't fathom
what?
A nigga picking up dirt from the floor and eating it.
So people were really eating dirt. Was it a specific kind of dirt? Or
okay, so it's funny.
They got a red dirt.
It's like a red dirt. Yeah. Again.
Mississippi, we do.
Okay, it's nutrition, but you're not thinking of that. You get what I'm saying? Because God made everything.
Right.
But just here's my reality, my nigga. So when a plane is coming
right.
from where we at, we used to have the slingshots. You see right. what I'm saying to you? So the minute we hear the plane, the shit is real high. So to us, at 6 years old, what you think the shit is?
It's
a bird.
Bird, yeah.
Bird. So I'd be like, translation, the bird's coming. Assume your position, my nigga. Niggas is butt naked. Bird's coming, niggas is butt naked like this.
On the ground, trying to get the plane.
On the ground, nigga, assuming positions with your slingshot, nigga.
Butt naked.
Whoever get the best, some Shaka Zulu shit.
So, nigga,
that was the reality. So when you
tell me first.
So when you tell me about America,
right?
Nigga,
this shit is sweet.
By the time we got here, so now just before we got to America, we used to hear the stories,
right?
Like yo, the land of the free, the land of opportunities. So, white man pulls up in a Jeep. Never seen a white man before, and he get out of his Jeep, and we in a village with my grandma. So I hold my grandma hand. A nigga look like an alien. I ain't never seen a white man.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Grandma, who this? She go, that's Jesus Christ. In prayer. she go, that's Jesus Christ. And I'm like, Jesus Christ? So now, okay. My nigga, look, no cap. Go to these Caribbean people homes.
Right.
Everybody got a picture of a white Jesus with blue eyes.
Caesar Borgia, yeah.
Like, yeah, that's the thing. So now, she go, that's Jesus Christ. So Jesus takes the rice, gives the village, and then he's leaving. So now years later, my parents come and get us from Haiti at 10. Mm-hmm. Shit work out for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put us on a plane. Shit looked like a UFO. I ain't never seen a plane. So me and my brother sit next to each other, and my brother freaks out. Ah, ah. I'm like, Sam, what's wrong? He goes, And we look up, and we see more white people now.
Right.
So he's freaking out. And we mad confused because they all wearing the same uniforms.
300 Jesus Christ.
Right? So then my brother goes, and I said, calm down.
Right.
These are Jesus cousins.
Right.
We're good. Because in my mind, these are just Jesus cousins.
Right.
Because they look like Jesus.
Right.
And they all rock it. Later, we found out they were the students and all that.
Right.
They had the same uniform.
Right.
That's that reality. Now the fucking plane is landing.
Right.
And in New York, we just see a bunch of lights. So per the tale that was told in the village, City of Diamonds. So we landed in the City of Diamonds, my nigga. So we get to the City of Diamonds, and now my uncle pick us up in a big-ass station wagon.
Right.
LTD.
Right.
Old fucking station wagon. I look at my brother, and we both just start celebrating because we rich. Our father's Donald Trump in our head.
Right.
Because now we pulling up to these brick buildings and them shits look, so we don't know they're the projects to right. us. Like, yo.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. So that's always been my reality. So that's what I was saying. Like, no man, I wouldn't even know if a man is saying, don't do a Pepsi commercial. I wouldn't even know. If he tell me I'm selling out, I wouldn't even know what that means.
Right. Because I came literally from the...
Yeah, because my reality is to make sure that my family's taken care of.
Right.
That's the first reality. So that's how sort of like we came up. So now we coming up like this. So, you know, you got us and then you got the Haitian Jacks, you know, all right. of that. Same family, though.
Right.
Haiti's like Sicily.
Right.
So from the same place. And my dad took me and he bought me the jersey. Because he was like, yo, I don't want you amongst. And then he bought us the jersey. But later, we all united back in life. Mm-hmm. But it all started with my dad taking me. He was like, yo, I'm bringing you the jersey. He bought me the jersey. He couldn't even read English, but nigga was a farmer and a fisherman.
Right.
I see my dad make corn in the project. Like, that was another, like, defensive mechanism. Like, niggas wouldn't fuck with my dad. He was, like, the OG, like, niggas would talk. So one day, he's a mechanic, too. That's where my car game come in. Mm-hmm. And he's driving a car to bring to Jersey that he just fixed.
Right.
And then he can't read English, but he look, and it said, Garden State Parkway. So he come back and said, we go to the Garden City. We go to Jersey.
Right.
So in his brain, he's thinking like it's the farm city.
Right.
The garden, like, you know what I'm saying to you? Nigga, we get straight to Newark, where Redman from.
No,
like,
the brick city.
Brick city. We get straight to the brick. Like, but this is all our reality.
Right.
And in a brick, 1108 South Orange Avenue, a burnt down funeral home right in the hood, my dad has a vision in his head and says God told him that's where the church gonna be at.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we all think he crazy.
Right.
So my dad buys this funeral home. And now we live inside of a funeral home, my nigga. 1108 South Jones Avenue. We live inside of a burnt funeral home, right? And now we gotta live all the way downstairs.
Where the bodies
you. And the coffins and everything out, right? Because he got a vision to rebuild it, right? But peep it, we didn't see his vision,
right?
His vision wasn't even that. It was a fucking parking lot. Right? So nigga end up having the biggest parking lot. And if you want parking, you gotta rent. You get what I'm saying?
Yes,
so that's how nigga played chess.
Right.
So when did you realize, like, coming from Haiti, getting to America, when did you realize that y'all really didn't move up? Y'all just moved around. Like, when did you realize y'all was still impoverished, just in a different setting?
I would say the first thing I realized was prejudice. Mm. Not with white people, with black people. Because where I came from, I thought we all was the same on some Shaka Zulu shit. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
So I would go to the block and I'd be like, I don't like borders.
Right.
I don't like borders.
Get your goof ass on,
exactly.
Son. The fuck is wrong with this nigga? This nigga speaking in cursive, big.
Yo, double fact. Right. You know what I'm saying? And then I was like, yo, why they treat me like I thought we was one? You know what I'm
saying? Like you said, hello, my brother.
Scared the shit out of me.
Niggas is like, yo, man, go back to Jamaica, bro.
Right.
And I was like, I'm not Jamaican.
Right. But that's all they do.
It was like, ah, nigga, everybody that got an accent, you Jamaican. So right. It was sort of like, you know, understanding that. And then one day my mama gave me food stamps mm-hmm. and was like, go to the store with that.
Right.
I don't know. It looked like money to me, Monopoly money.
Right.
So I'm in the line, you know what I'm saying to you? And then I can hear all the other kids, you know what I'm saying, behind me. They're like, food stamp, mama, on welfare, food, you know what I mean?
And you don't even know what that means.
I don't even know what that means, my nigga.
Because
it don't matter to me where I come from. My mama sent me to the store. So now all of these realities just slowly start to make sense, you know what I mean? My dad bring us in Brooklyn. Because we always like Jersey, Brooklyn, back and forth. There was a department store called Jack's mm-hmm. in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And so my dad brought us to Jack's. We came from Haiti. He was like, yo, go inside and take as many sneakers as you want, you know.
Right.
So we go to Jack's, my nigga. And I'm like, oh, shit. $100.99? And my pops had $200 for a pair of sneakers. And he told us, go, my nigga, I grabbed every color, green, yellow.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
I'm top of the top.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Then I get back home, proud of myself, knotting up my yellow joint, boom, boom, boom. And then I get into school, and I hear these kids start to say, Jeepers.
To make your feet feel fine.
Jeepers, exactly, right?
$1.99.
Yeah. And then, see, I can't even make this shit up. I'm just telling you, see? And he's backing it up, because this is our first time talking.
Right.
But it's all these stories. So he, exactly what he was doing. So you see the cross culture.
Right.
So niggas was like, yo, so what was $200 in my head was $1.99.
Right.
But none of that mattered to me. Right. You see what I'm showing right. you? I'm just right. showing you all of this was a reality, and that became the whole thing. So
I would have talked shit. I was naked last week.
Right.
Exactly. You bitch, I went from naked
to having 100 pounds, man.
Trying to kill like airplane with a slingshot.
You ain't never ate dirt.
You kidding me? You mad? You tell your Asian party, yeah, you better set up at home. This ain't get butt naked.
Cookie dough? What
is this cookie is dough? How we do it in my house.
Yo, butt naked.
Butt ass naked.
Yo, that
don't mean no harm.
Yeah, man, that was the reality. And it goes on and on and on and on.
Right.
So it's like, what this is, and I'll show you something. Suge Knight comes out.
Right.
And the whole industry is terrorized. Yeah. Ask me one time you ever seen the Fugees with a bodyguard. Mm. Never. Never. Like, we our own clique, we our own movement. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, where I come from,
hey,
a man is a man.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying to you? And your mom and your dad. You,
everything.
God forbid, you get jumped, and then you come back in the house, and you talking about you just got jumped. Your parents are going to be like, go back outside and get what they took from you.
Right.
Automatically, so they instill that 1804 revolution, Zoe mentality. Mm-hmm. So all of that at a very young age. So for us, what was more important was, how do we code the music mm-hmm. in a way for the world to get it? Mm-hmm. That's why we was a different kind of author, because I was like, nigga, we already know. We got guns in the hood. We got drugs.
We know that. We
from that. So the whole Fuji mythology was like, they form a right was like, how do we write for the world to look at us in a different way to know, like, we scientists, we intellectuals, like, we Mansa Musas, like, we are conscious mm-hmm. that even though you put us in this little environment as a whole, everybody gonna rise. Mm-hmm. So that's why the lingo was always different than just the direct.
And y'all put a lot of that in the music because a lot of people don't know the Haitian history and how much they've been influential in. I'm talking about the first revolutions, the first people to stand up to hypocrisy and slavery. And I mean, you look at Haiti and they have been instrumental in so much. So I can imagine y'all coming over here and seeing what we think is the ghetto. And y'all like, man, shit, This ain't nothing compared.
I was naked.
I was naked last week with a slingshot.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Eating dirt. Hell no. Nah.
So why is it Haitians and the Dominican Republic? Why is it some type of beef when y'all on the same island? Y'all literally neighbors.
Yeah, like Mexico and California. Before it was California, it was all Mexico.
Mm.
Correct?
Mm-hmm. Talk your talk now.
Right?
Right?
So geographically. So, and then if we just talk about the Caribbean as a whole, that's North America.
It's North America. Mm-hmm. Most people don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we talk about, to your point, Haiti and the Dominican Republic, that's Española.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go a step deeper.
Keep talking.
Haitians got their independence in 1804. And who helped the Dominicans get their independence?
Haitians.
Mm-hmm. Haitians.
Mm-hmm.
But again, conquering divide. It's always, they do it here.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the idea of conquer, dividing the politics, the rhetoric, the whatever you instill in a youth as a child, they're going to grow up into it. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to tell you something that people don't even know. My uncle, his name is Raymond Joseph. He was born in the Dominican Republic. But in my brain, he's just born in Española. So the point is, the love has to start with when the kid is small and he's growing up. That you don't do that. It's like you can have beef with, like, Cuban could have beef with a Puerto Rican, right? Or they could be like, you know, they could have beef with a Mexican. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they put this rhetoric within us. It's just that the instill of the prejudice that when you grow up with. So, because their idea is like, imagine if the Dominican Republic and Haiti can just unify and be one thing, great. Right? And then imagine if they take that same unification to Jamaica, take it all around, right? Yeah, so you got to think. But that rhetoric, my man, it starts off with the politicians. It start off with a nigga who's like, this is my land and this is my turf. And he get a bunch of niggas and say, okay, we're going to fight these niggas over this. So now what happens, right? So through bad policy, Haiti gets failed, right? And I hope these Haitian leaders watching this shit too, because a lot of them is okey-doke fuckboys. So these okey-doke fuckboys, what they do too at times, they sell their own Haitians to the Dominican Republic. This is true. So at the end of the day, where does it start? It got to start with us. Like, you know what I'm saying? You got to hold these leaders accountable. You know what I'm saying to you? So to your point, we watch it here too, conquer and divide. Think about this. I get my independence in 1804, and you in America, they hanging y'all. They burning y'all. You watching him get hung, and you shaking. They hanging him. You watching. You know you next. You shaking. But what happens if you got to me? I'm in Haiti. They won't let you, they won't let me have a conversation with you. Because I'll just be like, yo, man.
All you got to do is...
I'll be like, you know what we just did to these dudes? We just shook the whole Napoleon and boom. And then that information go with you. Then you would have more Nat Turners. They don't want that. Nah, so again, information is power. I always say that. You know what I'm saying to you? But so then I pushed. I even push forward now and try to become president of Haiti.
I wish.
That's going to happen. Hey, J-O-N, it's about that time.
I tried to be president.
That's going to happen. You're going to be president. That's going to happen.
I was president.
I'll get elected on Friday. Yeah. Assassinated on Saturday. Buried on... Shout out to Dave Chappelle. That's the first time I did that. That was pretty high.
That was fire. Don't worry about it.
You work with all the legends, man, but I got to ask you this one. You work with Dylon.
Dylon.
You work with all the ghosts, man. Hot fire. Yeah,
and then you already know. That's my... You can either make it soon. They always ask me my top five. And I'm like, why y'all even bother to do that? Y'all already know it's Dylon.
Hey, man, welcome back to the 85 South Show.
Yeah,
man, we're doing our big move today, man. We got none other than the super talent.
We gotta give him a go. Give him a go.
The super dope.
Yes,
the
sir.
Super instrumental.
Yes, sir.
Part of one of the hardest rap groups in rap history,
yes,
man.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man. Multicultural kid. Make music all across the board, it be for the hood, whether it be for South America, whether it be for Haiti. He done ran for president.
Yeah.
Hey, got one of the highest grossest selling albums of all time, man. None other than the legendary Haitian, Mr. Wyclef. Mr. Wyclef. Big respect.
Come on, man.
Let's go. I always wanted to ask you about this, man. You were in a legendary hood movie, Shatas, man. They had you playing a gangster. Now you Haitian to the bones.
This a whole lot of Richie Epps, man.
Right. Whole lot of Jamaicans in that movie.
You know, it was a white man, a black man, and a Chinese man, you know?
Right.
You know, and it was easy to say that joke and as Richie Epps and just murk dangles without you see it coming.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? All I got to do is, that was not hard for me.
Right.
Because coming from Haiti, grew up in Brooklyn first. And at the time, every Haitian wanted to be Jamaican. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I was going to ask
that
you.
Was reality.
What was the
reality.
Feedback?
Every Haitian wanted to be Jamaican?
Nigga, this is before your era. Every Haitian that's watching this that's my age, know that at that time, you had to have a Jamaican accent.
Wow!
Because the Jamaicans was powerful.
Even my man watching this right now in the DR, like, understands this. Like, at the end of the day, because them Haitians was no joke.
Right.
So, it was so crazy because in times in Brooklyn, the neighbor would be like, yo, blood clad Jamaican man, I do what you know.
Yeah.
You see the man I pull up. And then trust me, man. You see?
Yeah.
Let me just talk like
just
that. A blood clad Jamaican man. Talk with a Jamaican accent. Boy, I play a chameleon, man. So, yo, when the idea of doing Shatas and what I loved about that flick, though, shout out to Seth. This is one of my favorite things about Shatas. So, I'm about to fuck y'all for a minute. So, I actually started off, me, Miss Hill, a.k.a. El Boogie, mm-hmm. we was in an off-Broadway play.
Right?
This is like 30 years ago. It was called Club 12. And then, of course, you see Miss Hill winning. She was doing Sister Act and still doing her music, right? So, and she was saying this the other day when we was on tour and in Prize. I thought, like, I was going to be an actor at one time, too, right?
Because you just...
So, literally, there's an article that said we did Hamilton 30 years ago. Me, Miss Hill, MC Light, before Hamilton was Hamilton. So, now, the thing about acting, which we loved about Shada's, everything you saw was improv. A lot, you know what I mean? You have a script, but the script is all improv. Mm-hmm. So when the director come, and he go, all right, boy, you got me in a yellow Lamborghini. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you already know, man, we want you to murder the boy. But you can't let the audience know that you're murdering. Roll the blood clot camera. You know what I'm saying? Cameras, bro. You know what I'm saying? No, there was a white man, a black... And then, so the idea of the improv and the feeding off each other is one thing's like actors and actresses thrive off, you know, still till today, these improv classes and that natural vibe. So for me, Shada's have a lot of that. You know what I'm saying? That's what's amazing about it.
That's what I was asking. Like, what was the, like, from the Haitians, what was the feedback? When they were they proud of the representation that you put out there?
Yeah, I mean, Richie F's is in more places more famous than Wyclef. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Have you gone to London walking through a thing like that? Why, Richie S? Nah, it's Wyclef. Nah, I'm on you, Richie S. That's like one of those things that you can't shake. The Shada's movie, mm-hmm. whether if it's the child is 15 or 50, like somehow that movie got across everybody.
Yeah. I just watched it 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future. Building off the hard work our parents have done before us, we all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid Kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine. or a ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
New York, you know, that was you when you first touched down. But,
yeah.
Like, how did you feel when, were you already Wyclef when you got to go down to Miami and see the presence that the Haitian people have down there? Like, were you already famous, or did you get to see that prior to you becoming a superstar?
So, it's a deep question. So, you had two sets brewing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, we was in Brooklyn, Jersey, the Refugees. Mm-hmm. And the thing is now, if you look back at the Refugees, John Forte, who got the first pardon.
Now, hold on, Dad. I gotta ask you this.
Yeah, yeah.
I had no fucking idea who John Forte was until he just showed up on the Wyclef song. But we was rocking with your shit so hard, we just like, oh, it's Wyclef, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like today, like, say somebody you feel has talent, you're going to put them on a feature. Right. You know what I mean? So John was always in the studio. He was part of doing the beats. He was part of the brain trust or the Fugees. So, and automatically, definitely John had the vibe. So, I was saying, like, when we look at it, John historically was one of the first rappers that got a pardon from a president for his charge. It was George Bush, right? So now I bring you there to show you, like, when we say, like, the Refugees, it was literally taking a negative and making a positive out of it, right? Without having a top name.
Right.
So we was there. Then you had the Zoe Pound that was in Miami, right? So let me tell you the story, the real story.
Give me a lighter.
Right? So who wanna get a lighter? So
blood clot lighter, boy.
So I remember we was doing a show with Buju Banta in Miami. Salute to the general. We was doing a show and I'm downstairs. And keep in mind, we bubbling, but we still not. And then my man like, yo, my man Sharman said, yo, there's these dudes upstairs, you know? Like, they not going to get off, you know, they on by the stage because my road manager has to get them. I said, yo, it's not going to get off, man, till you know, they just like, they got to see you.
Right.
So I go and we kiss. And the minute I see Maca Zoe looks like my brother.
Right.
So literally, see, the thing about Haiti is tribes.
Right.
So me and Mac just start to hug each other, and it's just a energy with kids.
Right.
So the idea of the Refugees and the idea of, like, Zoe Pound, it was a movement of struggle, and, like, we're going to show, like, the world that we're on top and we could do better. Mm-hmm. So I was the first dude, no cap, that put a festival together in Miami. This is long before Ultra and all these festivals. I'm the first one. The Carnival was the name of the festival. Aaliyah, you could Google it. Timbaland, Usher. That's the first time, if Usher's watching this, he know. Mm. That's the first time people thought Usher was Haitian. Mm. That's where the rumors started.
Say that.
It started on my festival because
right.
I had Usher say "Sac Passé," and every time we see each other, he'd be like, "Yo, you know it's because you had me say endless." I keep going and going and going. So, and I remember being in the audience with Maca Zoe, and we both looking at each other, and he was like, "Yo, man, this is the vision, man. Like, we're gonna take this music thing to the next level." So he's a big inspiration because it was like brother talking to brother. Mm-hmm. So we like in the middle of this festival and we're talking. So I'm going to show you how deep it is. So when you watch a video I have, which is called MVP Compa, MVP Compa, you spoke about the Creole music that I do too. Mm-hmm. So in the intro of that video, now if y'all go back and watch it, the minute the song starts, that's me and Macazo in the very intro. And it's in Creole. So again, we was celebrating the idea of life, the idea of music, Red Eyes, all these guys. It was an idea of positivity. This was the start of everything. This is what it was going to be. So the embracement was like this, because we all was repping the flag. And it was sort of like, it's like one set meeting another set, but part of the same set. Right. You know what I'm saying to you? Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
It's a big, same flag, because we all up on the one.
Yeah, so
I say Free Macazo.
You mean that.
I mean Free Macazo.
Free Macazo.
Yeah. I gotta ask you this. What did you learn when you ran for president? Like, because you, this is real. You, this top office over there. What did you, what were some of the lessons that you learned, or some of the things that you didn't know about government that you came in?
Well, I remember calling like my closest friends, and I was like, yo, I'm going to run to be president of Haiti. And all I heard was, nigga, you crazy, click, right? Like, okay, nigga, I'll be at the funeral, click, right? Nigga, I'll be at the funeral, click, right?
Blackness? He hit my blood?
Congratulations.
Nigga, we back. Nigga, I got Snoop Dogg and Wyclef. Nigga, Barack, you next. Nigga, whoa, I can't wait to tell my son, but you know your dad smoked Snoop Dogg and Wyclef, right? Man, this is some good shit. I feel good. Not my day. I feel good.
Salasi.
Ça passe?
Ça passe? Yeah. So here we go. On the real talk.
Right.
When I ran for president.
Yeah, right there. Look like a bull. They'll do you dirty on 85 South. Yeah, gotcha.
So when I ran for president, hit a real talk.
Right.
So we seen Kanye run.
Did.
Trump. I go way back, like saying like with Trump, I'm just showing you, like, I remember one of my early shows that I did, like, was for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. This is before he was president. Mm-hmm. And I have like a picture. I'm just showing you, this is like at a time when I was running, mm-hmm. right? So if I was on The Apprentice, I'm just giving you a different thing. Mm-hmm. The idea of a celebrity mm-hmm. saying like, yo, I'm gonna run for office of a country, they're like, yo, what you want?
Right.
What you want?
Right.
Right? So there was like, yo, Clef stole money from his country, right? They took your whole people, they started doing what, you know, now you see it in politics, it's called a smear campaign.
Mm-hmm. Right? Propaganda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they start this smear campaign. Mm-hmm. And then with the smear campaign, you go from being most loved.
This portion of the show is sponsored by Blue Magic Hair Grease and Rat Tail Combs.
You had chicken, huh?
Yes, sir.
And a Dr. Pepper.
You know it.
I know you did. You're
not. Popeye's chicken. I just want four legs and a biscuit.
This shit right here?
Gonna find
you. Who did this?
They got your order wrong. Ready or not.
Chicken on
DC
top of
it. Bout to Kirk the fuck out.
What do you got?
Got some.
Put chicken on. I don't eat chicken no more. Only shrimp.
Tell
him to reorder my shit. Only shrimp.
We good?
Huh?
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, welcome. Yeah. I can't eat that chicken shit.
So we pick back up?
Yeah, we back.
So on real talk, I ran for president, and y'all saw how they came at me.
Right.
Now we know what that's called. It's called a smearing campaign.
Smearing campaign.
That's how they try to get you.
Right.
What made me run and what made me think I could be president is the most important thing.
Right.
So let's get into it. There's what you see on camera, and there's what you see behind the camera.
Behind the scene.
So before I ran, in 2005, when George Bush gave the order for Colin Powell, RIP to the general,
mm-hmm.
had to go to Haiti and literally kidnap the president at the time, Aristide, and mm-hmm. take him out the country, right? It's 2005. I remember watching, I was in Paris, I remember, and this was like past those dates, and I remember I'm watching TV, and a kid comes on the TV in Paris, and he says, the only person that could make us put our guns down is Wyclef Jean. Now, why he say that? Because even as a Fuji, the score, the Grammys, I put up my flag. Even when I'm on doing music for Sony, I'm still doing music in Creole, and I'm sending it back to Haiti. The same way Biggie would do music in Brooklyn feels like he, you know, that Biggie is a Bible. So I would do music like that. On old. So there was always that connection with them. So, and that kid, his name is Haitian Tupac. Now, let me show you how the gangs was working in Haiti.
Be a hell of a nigga, right?
Yeah.
Nigga a street name yeah. for your head.
Yeah. You hear me? And then I need everybody after this to go watch The Ghost of Cité Soleil and get deeper. All of the kids that was in the Cité Soleil at the time was inspired by hip-hop. Mm-hmm. So they gave themselves hip-hop names. So go watch the doc. You're going to see 50 Cent. Mm-hmm. Like, he calls himself 50 Cent. He's a Haitian. And it goes on and on. So we got a chance to do a doc. You'll see it on these kids. So I want y'all to get deep into the gang culture down there just to understand where it comes from. Mm-hmm. So just to say, that touched me when he said that. And I said, yo, I'm done with music. Like, what other record can I possibly break? My people need me. Slumdog Millionaire, I came from that village, and I'm going to go back and put my entire heart into that. Mm-hmm. Now, what didn't y'all see behind the cameras? Me in Haiti with all the gangs at the time saying, look, I'm going to put this. If y'all see any of these trucks coming and they have a Yele Haiti sticker, don't rob them. Right? They're here to work for us. They're here to work for you. Right? I was inside of these communities with, like, women giving money out and having them start small businesses. I was the one that was getting on the plane going from Haiti to Washington, D.C. to negotiate what the gangs wanted with the U.N. at the time. This is all me. This is before I ran for president. Mm-hmm. I was the one that went to Congress and was like, yo, dog, like at the end of the day, I need y'all to pass this bill so that the textile can be on point and we could bring more job creations. This is me. This is not on camera. This is what's happening in real time. Mm-hmm. So when I ran, I knew I could do it because I felt like I was the face of the country. Right. Let me put you up on this last game. 250,000 people under the rubble, right? What made me think I could do it? And where am I going to get the money? Because Haiti is tied to the World Bank and the IMF. Yo, Clef, nigga, where you going to get that money from? Well, I'm going to get that money from the Environmental Fund. They said, what's that? Carbon credit. Literally through carbon credit, I could have built my whole country over. You know what I'm saying to you? And that literally probably go over some people's head. Just Google carbon credit.
That's what
credit.
I was just about to ask you about. Go back to the Haiti being tied to the World Bank and the IMF.
That's right. So what that mean, like Haiti being, it's so funny. They call me the lawyer of the hook. I break it down both ways. And my brother's the real lawyer, though. Mm-hmm. So what that mean? Real simple. All right. So here you go. This a house. Go ahead, man. I'm going to give you this house. You can go ahead and live in it. But you making absolutely no money at all. Go ahead. You can live in it. But you going to pay me $100 a month, literally for the rest of your life. Almost like I set you in a structure to fail right from the gate. Because where you going to get that money? So if you really want to help Haiti, the first thing I would say, clear Haiti's debt completely. From the French, right? From the clear the debt. World Bank, everybody, you clear the debt. Because if you want to really help me, you got to start from scratch. But why wouldn't you do that? You wouldn't do that because you'd be like, hold up. If I clear Haiti debt, then I got to clear this person's debt and that person's debt. So by design,
bankrupt the system.
Feel me? That's how the shit's set up. So again, I ain't politically savvy, my nigga. Mm-hmm. So now I'm fighting against a system that I can't see. You feel what I'm saying to you? Mm-hmm. So I got a few mentors at the time. One is Harry Belafonte.
Right.
So I got to reach out. And I go to Harry and I'm like, yo. He says, look, you're going to be fighting the invisible hand. But he said, if your hands is clean, you're going to come off balance and you're going to be able to help your people. So for me, past that experience, what it is they took me out the race illegally. did I have power at the time to push a button and Farrakhan this shit up? Like when Farrakhan put a million men out there, did I? Yeah, I could have did that. But I felt like I ain't want blood in my hands. So I told the youth, he who fights and walk away, live to fight another day. So it's like at the end of the day, what did I learn? I said, man, I need good government. Because if I'm investing money in Jamaica, I'm investing in Africa, and I'm investing in Antigua and in different places, why can't I build my own Punta Cana in my own country? I got enough connections, and I have enough ways. I'm smart. I know how to raise money. I do it in other countries. So for me, the lesson that I learned is we need better governance to move forward.
Now, they try to make it seem like Haiti is so poor, right? But it's this, I can't remember the name of it. I want to say it's a rare earth element that they make microchips out of that they only get from Haiti.
Yeah, Haiti has a lot of things. Haiti has
a lot of minerals in, like natural resources.
Okay. Yes. So what I'm going to tell y'all about Haiti is this. And keep in mind, you said something earlier which was ill. So in 5%, you know, you might hear Jay-Z say peace God, right? Peace or God. Different peace God. So we have something called knowledge itself. Mm-hmm. So knowledge itself is like you really understand what's going on. So at the end of the day, King, this is what I want you to know. Wherever you see, they say, is the poorest place in the world. Remember when they used to say Africa, the poorest place in the world, and we didn't want to go. You know what I'm saying? First time I went to Africa, I was so like into like the Black Power movement. I showed up with dashiki. Niggas is wearing Rockaway. They're like, nigga, what year are you from, right? Because I thought, you get what I'm saying? You feel me?
I just got back from Ghana. It is shocking when you go over there and see how they living, and you have this perception that these people are flies on the face in the arms of the angel. No, it ain't like that.
No, they get money.
Range Rovers, Benzes, yeah, but everything.
To your point, King, natural resources is the game. Mm-hmm. So what you've seen Africa has started to do now is the youth have declared that they want the natural resources back. That's what's going on. So now in Haiti, you know, and I know all the Haitians are watching this, and I'm going to say this, we have a puppet prime minister right now in Haiti, you know, and I know he's watching this, so this is perfect. So his term was supposed to be only for 4 months. After they went in, they assassinated the Haitian president. The Colombians, they went in, right, 22, whatever. They set up whatever. And I think the Colombians was just a pawn for the bigger picture of what was going on.
Oh, God.
So this dude that's literally been here in 4 months, he's been here 3 years, going on 3 years, supposed to be 4 months. We have asked for him to leave. So we're demanding that he leaves because we don't need the country to get into a crazier situation. You know what I mean? Because what are the youth demanding now? The youth want their natural resources back. What are they demanding now? They want education. Like, if you find a situation to give a nigga a job, he right. gonna put that gun down, he gonna come work for you.
Right.
So that's sort of like where we at now. You feel me?
And you said they tried to assassinate you too.
It's all online. You saw how quick.
We ain't doing it. Come on.
Y'all niggas
water.
Trying to kill me on the show.
Get out the water.
Yeah. Don't do
we
that.
We ain't do that.
You can read up on it.
Yeah, we got one.
You can read up on it. You know, when I ran, they tried to fight me.
Man.
And that's just how it goes. And then, you know, again, there's what social media, thank you, love. There's what social media that could amplify something. And there's always the reality. Because you got the conspiracy theorists online. This is true, where they'll try to paint different pictures of what happened.
Right.
Yeah, they try to assassinate me. That's what happened. Right. And it's obvious. All you got to do is look at what they did to the president when they rolled up in his crib. But again, beyond the fact of whatever they did at me and came at me, why the fuck would a nigga try to run to be president of a country that they call the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere?
Right.
Because I know that that's not true.
Right.
That place is wealthy in resource, man.
Right.
Gold. Oil,
right.
Copper, lithium.
The people.
You heard that? The people are what you call, right? And then they under, like, 20, the new millennials, it's insane. And guess what they want? They just want job creations and education. So I feel that in the course of history, because we live in our lives now, 200 years from now, they're going to judge us. So some things you do now ain't going to be popular to the public. They're just not going to get it. But in history, my nigga,
they're going to understand it.
That's right. So when you look back in history and you go 2012, whatever the year was of the earthquake, and you'd be like, where was Clef? Right. Where was Wild Clef, that nigga that came from the village that was riding a donkey? If it's like, oh, well, he was shaking his hips with Shakira and he was with Santana, but we never saw him on the island. And in history, because the only thing they're going to care about is this, how you move the culture forward.
That shit called Iridium.
Iridium.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we could talk about Iridium. So Iridium, no, I got you. So, and then we're the second in the world, right, largest with Iridium. I got to shake your hand on that. Now, everybody that's watching that, Google this word, Iridium in Haiti. Okay, this is some of the fight. Why? Because as we move forward into the future, here's another jewel for all the kings and queens watching. Iridium is going to be needed because now you're moving into a green environment. Everything is friendly. Mm-hmm. You're going to need that for your cars, for all of, like, where we going, electric vehicles.
And Haiti got it.
Michael all Jackson. Of that. So you're going to need all of
all
that.
The boys,
so as we speak, this is what's happening right now. So no, we're not the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Right. We actually one of the richest countries in natural resources. We're being ripped off. That's what's happening.
But that's crazy. But because when we talk, I found out I got Jamaican in my blood and my native. So do gang.
Yes, sir.
You feel me?
Yeah.
It's just, I love hearing about the Maroons and just about how y'all fight for the rights. And like you're saying now, that the young millennials, like, we just want our resources back. We just want to create.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, it always seems like what's stopping us is the government. And just to hear you say, we just need a clean government. If we have a clean, straight government, we'll be straight.
Yeah. Y'all need a clean government. You said something earlier, Jamaica and Haiti with the shadows. How do we feel about that? Just a little historical fact before I move on. Boukman was from Jamaica. Mm-hmm. He was barely 12. He was a Jamaican who went to Haiti and was part of the Haitian Revolution. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have the Haitian Revolution without having Boukman. That's what makes us closer than more separated. But they didn't want to give us that in history. You know what I'm saying to you? To your point, we said we need cleaner government and cleaner governance. How do we get to that? Mm-hmm. Y'all, we get to that to y'all. Y'all got to demand it. So that's what we tell the youth in Haiti. Nobody is bigger than y'all, the people. Y'all hit the streets. Y'all can't, like, back up. Like, you know what I mean? You saw what happened in Sri Lanka. Like, you literally, if you got to run up in that White House and tell the people that's what we want as a unit, that's how you got to move. And, the power is within the youth. And of course, yeah, I do know a lot, because you ain't just going to run for president without understanding what the backside channels are and how they move. But nobody is bigger than the people, my fam. Mm-hmm. They can't murder a million people, period.
Man, getting back to the music, I got to ask, man, because you are a part of one of the biggest groups in hip-hop, is in music history. Like, y'all getting back together to go back on tour. Like, when, you know, one of my favorite lines in any music is, then the Fugees gonna break up, and every day I wake up, somebody got something to say. Like, just that power that you had as a group. When did you realize that y'all were at the status where people loved y'all worldwide the way that they do?
Fugees is short for refugees. And right from the gate, we ain't want to do music. We wanted to do a movement. We called it refugees so we could touch you if you're in the States, but also in the Sudan. We touch you, too. You in the favelas of Brazil. Touch you, too. You in South Africa. So it became bigger than us. It's not us. It's like, that's why last year, if you show up at the tour, we barely did promotion. Everything is sold out. Stadium, right? Because when people show up and we make you feel good, right? Because what happens is, like, when you listen to Bob Marley, like, you feel good. Like, it's like, what happened to that energy? So that's sort of like how it started off for us. It was more, we wanted to be a movement. You know what I'm saying to you? And guess what? When you get, like, older, you get wiser. Mm-hmm. Like, meaning, like, it's so deep to me now Because it's like you create something. And I don't think people understand, like, when we say, like, we took hip-hop, and the way we brought hip-hop to Europe, no one has ever, it's like we Harriet Tubman it, right? Mm-hmm. So that it's like, okay, we're out there, and it's like, okay, well, who's going to open up for us? Let's bring Jay-Z to open up. Mm-hmm. Let's bring Nas. Because at the end of the day, we felt like that the energy and what the people should be getting is what's real, because this thing is going to start to circulate around the world. Mm-hmm. And because where we come from, it was created from where we came from. So we needed people to get that organic. And long before...
It's our history.
Yeah, yeah. And before us, you know, you had like the Melly Mels and those guys that was going out there. But I felt like when we came in, and another thing we killed was the stereotype of hip-hop is a microphone and two turntables. Mm. Fugees killed that. Mm. So that was another thing in Europe. Like, it shocked them. Like, when they see motherfuckers showing up playing instruments, mm-hmm. when they hear Lauryn Hill singing, and they see me playing keys, it's messing them up, because they have an ideology of what hip-hop is. And again, as keepers of the culture, we wanted to show them that, nah, hip-hop is everything. Think about, I remember when we was coming out, people was like, it's not hip-hop. They said it's alternative, because we were singing the melodies. Mm. And now look, today, look what year we in. You know what I'm saying? See, you got the dual.
It's all you got. Nothing but that.
If you don't have, if you can't walk it out, if you can't walk with the melodies, you ain't saying nothing.
Now you've generated billions of dollars, like, globally. Where did you learn the music business from?
It's so funny that you say that. So we're in 2024 now, right?
Right.
And I was looking and I was like, oh, wow. Over a billion views for Shakira, Hips Don't Lie, right? Then I was like, okay, over a billion views for Avicii. Avicii's my guy. He actually started EDM. He was a genius. And this is what I want kids to know. This is the facts. So we produced Killing Me Softly. Miss Hill, a.k.a. El Boogie, sang it. Killing Me Softly, before my generation, was the Roberta Flack generation. Mm-hmm. And y'all know the Lauryn Hill version, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, but who wrote it? Mm-hmm. We ain't write the shit. So here goes the game. Now we're going to get into financial literacy. Let's talk about it. Right. So here goes the game. We ain't write it, but we performed it. Right. And it was amazing. And we made somebody $8 million, right? Mm-hmm. So that mean that whoever was the composer who wrote it was literally sleeping in his bed, and he made $8 million like that, right? And then now look at how big that version is. So that person, copyright, has generated them millions and millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. So this is the game.
Royalty.
So royalties, but bigger than royalties, publishing. Mm-hmm. The game is to own your own copyright and your own composition. Mm-hmm. The game is the power of licensing. Dig, your publishing is your real estate. So your publishing is your real estate game. Because you know how once you invest in real estate, it could be 30 years down from now. Mm-hmm. Like, you still gonna get money from that property. You could flip it, whatever you wanna do. So in saying that, I was like, okay, I need to be on the other side of the game. I need to be on the side of when I'm 54, I could be sleeping. And then I don't have to worry about picking up an instrument. So I'll just give you one example. So the phone goes off. Yo, man, what's up, my brother? You know we the best, right? Mm-hmm. Regin, why I'm Khaled? We go way back, right, to Days of Shadows.
Exactly.
He said, yo.
He was skinny.
Yeah, and you know, and then, you know, so my brother is very excited when he has visions. Mm-hmm. Yo, I got this vision, man. Remember the song you wrote? Maria, Maria, man. I got this vision, you know. Think you could get Santana and boom, 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 right? But I own the majority of the song. So I hit up the Godfather, Santana, and I just put him with Khaled, right? So, but keep in mind, the actual composition itself, right, is a Wyclef Jerry Wonder composition. So that means that now we're talking big now. Cause we talking about we own the building. Mm-hmm. So now you gotta pay rent for the building. So now watch this. So now, of course, DJ Khaled gets Rihanna, Bryson Teller. Amazing. Makes the shit a hit. I was a baby and I sat on the keyboard and was like, doom, 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 doom. Right now, what does that mean? That's a billion streams. So what does that mean? When I'm at the Super Bowl and I'm going, there's countless images of this thing. Mm-hmm. So you look at it and say, well, what does that mean? Every time that it could be a billion streams of Khaled and Rihanna, but the composition itself is the real estate. So that means that this is what you call, you got to teach this in financial literacy. Mm-hmm. So the way that you get wealthy, everybody's popping when they're 20 and 21 and 22. Like, you know what I'm saying? I was my own Mayweather at 21 and 22, you know what I'm saying? But I'm 54. So what used to matter to me doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But when I'm 25, the ice that I wear, like, it matters to me, you know what I'm saying to you? But now at 54, the ice has to translate into buildings, mm-hmm. into small islands, into, you know, mm-hmm. investments. So how do you get there? And the way that y'all get there is y'all got to make sure that y'all have ownership. Mm-hmm. It could be, don't think of it like music. Mm-hmm. Think of it as intellectual property, my nigga. Mm-hmm. If you say one phrase, I remember, peep this. I freaking was doing one song one time, and all I wanted to say was, let's get ready to rumble. And I did, niggas was like, yo, you got to go clear it.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't know you could patent a slogan. Do you know how, let's start with battle rap. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many slogans is in battle rap if they understood that mm-hmm. and they went and patent their own slogan, mm-hmm. that literally, because that's the culture. They take those languages and it becomes, it's like Shakespearean. Mm-hmm. So I ain't just talking about just music, just everything in general. You know what I'm saying? To you, all the way down to his generation, my generation. You got a retirement plan. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is, when I was your age and I saw somebody retiring, I was like, oh, they're about to die. They're going to go to Miami, get a little condo. Live out their life in the beach, they're gonna die. No, I'm 54. I ain't even start living yet.
Go live.
Right? So the thing is, but somebody gotta be like, yo, start saving that bank when you're 20 something. Look up the policies, look at the benefits that you can get mm-hmm. at your age. Mm-hmm. All of this is important because if you constantly wanna maintain that fly lifestyle, you constantly wanna live it, mm-hmm. then you gotta start early and start saving early.
I understand that shit. You gotta start, stack. Save.
That piggy bank. Early.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
The score. Why the score? Why that name for that classic album?
Well, we felt like we had to come and settle the score because we felt like we was, underestimated.
Underestimated.
And then we felt like when we did Blunted on Reality, you know, that album, the freshman album went copper.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, too? And then it went copper and we felt like we was misunderstood. Mm. And the reason why we felt we was misunderstood, off camera, I was telling y'all, the Fugees was signed to LaJam. That's a Kool & the Gang brother, production team. So Khalees Bayon, my man that did R.I.P. to him, he passed away. Jungle Boogie, mm-hmm. She's fresh, exciting, right. Celebrate. Every bar mitzvah, celebrate, come on, man.
Ladies night,
come.
Yeah.
They producing. You think I'm going to say something? So, you know, and he's like, yo, this is the direction at the time. So at the time, there was a group called Onyx.
What's that?
Onyx.
Nigga, I'm about to pull your skirt up.
Yeah. Remember, Slim. So being like we had an energy when we was performing live, he wanted to translate that to the album. And that didn't go off well with the hip-hop audience in America. Not in Europe. I'm just giving you an example. And then, so on that album, I remember I asked him, I was like, yo, can I produce one song? And he was like, what? I said, I have an idea. Just an acoustic guitar and rhyming over an acoustic guitar. And that ended up being vocab. And then Lauren was like, can she get one? And hers ended up being some seek stardom, you know, but they forget Harlem. And then, so when you listen to those two records, you could just see, like, if we had that shot. Meanwhile, while that's going on, we get back to the Booger basement in the hood. We cooking on that MP. You know what I'm saying? Like that Ready or Not you hear? Mm-hmm. That sample came from Sleepwalker. It was an old sample from Sleepwalker. We up in the hood. I was smoking, and I fell asleep to that sample, the Enya shit. And it was in a movie on a VCR. And then I remember waking up. I remember Spud McKenzie. Woke up to the dog Spud McKenzie with one foot. And then it hit me. I was like, yo, if a dog could be famous in America, ain't no way we ain't gonna be famous.
Right.
I remember, like, again, simple record took time. This is what people don't understand. So now you can do a whole album in your basement. You can do it in your room. You can do it anywhere. You know where we did that whole album at 30 years ago?
Wow.
Right in the hood, in the Booger basement, my uncle's basement. That's another part of us. We engineers. So imagine, like, we got to get the room, built the patch bay, built, I'm talking about the whole OMCI board, take everything. Like, we was our own computers at the time. When you listen to, like, all that joint, I'm like this. Roll the tape. I'm pulling when the bass come out, so all of the math is in my head. Mm-hmm. I'm doing hand automation. This not on no Neve. So at the end of the day, it's like, that's what I'm trying to tell people, like, the Fugees are architects, mm-hmm. scientists. Mm-hmm. Because think about what everyone's doing right now. You could do it with a laptop, my nigga. We was doing that shit with no laptop. So you can have an artist who's a dope rapper. You can have a dope artist who's a dope businessman, a good singer, or whatever. But I'm telling you, what you heard, we built it from our hands, like from scratch. Guttering the basement, putting the panels up, building the patch bays, going to junkyard sales. I'll take this, I'll take that. And from this, it birthed the score. So we did that because we was like, we come to settle the score.
That's crazy.
50 years of hip hop, man. Did you ever think you would see a
50 years of hip hop?
$1 billion rapping.
50 years of hip hop is amazing. And I think that we all are awoke now to a whole nother level. And what I want everybody to look at is as we move into these next 25 years of hip hop, being a billionaire is not a, it's not like they're giving you a gift. Right. You deserve to be a billionaire. Right. Because you've consumed and have made companies billions and billions of dollars. So at the end of the day, understanding that, what's amazing to look at the next 25 years is how savvy this generation is. Right. And how, remember when Jay was like, I'm going to make y'all pay for what y'all did to the Coke Rush. Yeah. You see what I'm saying to you? So it's like, at the end of the day, it's like we've leveled off in positions of power, all of us, and in different sectors, right? But it's really only a few of us. Like, it's really a handful. But we came in with hundreds and thousands of them, right? And it's a handful. So the thing is, when we look at the next 25 years, what we want to make sure is when he's my age, it's like there's no longer a handful. Like, it's a complete movement. You know what I'm saying to you? Where it's like, okay.
Yeah, they're going to be some.
That's right, because they balanced out in a way of, like, generational wealth. Like, Rothschild style wealth. Yeah. You feel me?
Yeah. Chico was talking about earlier about the Jay-Z land. We said, and then the Fugees going to break up. So clearly that had fucked this day up. Yeah. No group wants to break up.
Man. Yeah.
How did you deal with that shit? Knowing that you got one of the dopest groups, y'all done sold the most albums, musically, y'all just in sync. Like, how did you deal with that?
Well, I mean, when I look back at it, we was child stars. Kid. We was kid stars. Yeah. Like, I could see it now, and I look back. But when I'm a kid, I don't know I'm a kid, right? So what do you going to do? You're going to make mistakes. Now, when you become grown, what do? With consolation, you apologize for everybody that you did wrong, because now you start to understand it. Because it's not just my story, right? Mm-hmm. It's long before me, there was somebody else. Long before that person, there was somebody else. What it did was it made the reconciliation even more stronger. And you're going to understand what I'm saying in probably the next 12 months.
That's beautiful.
Right? So, but it's like we see the mountains and shit and be like, yo, this mountain is dope. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you climb the tree, you're like, yo, that's dope. But my nigga, if we was to like smoke an L and then sit back and then jump on some science shit on how the mountain became the mountain.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? From the combustions and all of that, we'd be like, oh. So at the end of the day, of course, it fucked everybody day up. You know what I'm saying to you? But it's sort of like sometimes you can question what happens at the time, but then later it all makes sense. You know what I'm saying to you? I felt like, if that happened, you wouldn't have got the Miseducation.
I was just about to say.
Which was a very insane and important album. You wouldn't have got the Carnival. You wouldn't have got, so again, Like, you wouldn't have got someone, please call 911. Like, yeah. Think about the Miseducation. The Miseducation was an album that is like a Bible.
Yeah, one of the greatest albums ever.
Come on.
I got to ask, though. Mm-hmm. It's a rumor that I've always heard. I got to ask you directly. Was You Just Lost One a diss song to Wyclef?
You might win some, but you really lost one.
It's funny how money changes situations. That whole, is that a diss song to Wyclef?
I mean, I couldn't answer that because I didn't write the song, right? But I'm a battle rapper, so I'm going to address you direct when I address you. Mm-hmm. So do I think the song is about me versus that? That's a different question.
Do you think that the song was about you at the time?
Nigga, I knew the song was about me.
He knew it. It's about me.
What was your like that setup? That was a bar. That was a rap bar. You like that?
What was your reaction when you heard it? And you really just sat there and listened to it?
I said, fuck.
This shit is hard.
Sometimes you gotta let niggas have it. That's good.
You got, yo, you take an L, you gotta take the L. Keep it moving.
Yeah,
that's it.
But you can work with anybody, bro. You can go from Shakira to Yin Yang Twins. When you,
I love Yin Yang. I did that.
Motherfucking Santana, bro. Yeah. I seen you got a new joint with Lola Brooke and Pusha T.
Yeah, so this chapter two, I'm inspired again to start to put work out. Mm-hmm. So for me, it starts off with my production brain. Mm-hmm. So I got approached by a company called TIAA. We was talking earlier on getting your paper right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who can convey that message in a way like for the youth to don't feel like I'm preaching to them? You know what I'm saying? So I put a scenario together, like as a producer. So I was like, okay, let me get Lola Brooke, Flaw J, Pusha T, Capella Gray, and just put a combination together.
Flaw J from LSU?
Yeah.
That's hard.
You heard what he said
now. Crazy.
Yeah. Right
now. Let me ask you this.
Remember, she was the one, she was doing Ready or Not on the Ready or Not beat. Mm-hmm. That's what made her come out. Crazy. She's fire.
Now, we talk music all the time. Yeah. Like, as a producer who's produced some of the biggest hits, when you get a track, do you just leave that bitch or do you have to produce a little bit, no matter who you get it from?
I don't get tracks. I built them from scratch.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, at this point, would
so
you
I build it from scratch, but you can call me and say, I got a track, and I want you to come and be on it. So one example is Young Thug. You know what I mean?
He got the Wyclef Jean. You heard
the Wyclef Jean on the Jeffrey album. So,
that shit crazy.
So really, you know, start with prison reform, and when we say free the slime, we really mean that. Mm-hmm. Like, at the end of the day, we all could have been within that situation, period. So, you know, Thugger brings me to the studio. I remember it was his birthday. And and we catching a vibe. And they have the beat, you know what I'm saying to you? And it's there. And then, so certain things I can feel right on the spot, you know what I'm saying to you? So there's things that you produce, and then there's things that you wish you produced, right? You feel what I'm saying to you?
You wish you produced
Come on. I could go to every Dr. Dre song, every Kanye song. I'm just saying, like, so at the end of the day, as a producer, you hear things and you're like, yo, that shit is so crazy. And then it inspires you, too. You know what I'm saying to you? So as a, we always pushing the envelope. So I think with this new joint that we have, again, it's 2024. I started the production. This record is called Paper Right. Mm-hmm. I'm in a vibe, I'm in a zone, and the zone ain't gonna stop. We feel it again.
How do you get on Wyclef radar? Just like Lola Brooke, Flajay, and then you put the Pusha T there. That shit just crazy.
You gotta also be a fan of them.
Yeah, how did she get on Wyclef radar, man? Cause you be over there building wells with Bono, you in Haiti running for president.
I don't know, man. I just might have to spit some bars because based on what you just said right there, you said nigga be building wells. Like, I don't have time for this shit. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But when you're a fan of the culture, mm-hmm. you're a fan of the culture. So it's like, if I tell you, like, if Murder Mook is watching this, mm-hmm. he'll tell you, like, I was in the studio with Murder Mook. It was like 20 years ago, just doing records with him, mm-hmm. right? You know, like, so it's like, I love, remember I was telling you, I didn't really want to be famous. I keep saying that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be like Quincy.
Composer. You want
to
be a composer.
So people be like, yo, man, how do you feel that you ain't the top five best rappers of all times, right?
I said, composer.
I said, nigga, I'm a composer. So I need you to judge me as a composer. Like, as a composer, who does what I do? I mean, I just showed you some shit offline. Like, this long before everybody, whatever, I was at Carnegie Hall with the Tux, conducting the Philharmonic Orchestra.
Fuck your talk.
You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. So that to me, yeah, that's what we are. You feel what I'm saying to you? Facts.
You know, I play drums in the orchestra, nigga. Oh, you know the vibe, up, man. You
know that, nigga.
You were conducting. Ooh, you fucked them up.
You know, I'm like, maybe I should brag more as a rapper. I don't do that. But Carnegie Hall.
Brag, you might just have to remind motherfuckers.
Yeah, Carnegie Hall.
But it's history. That's why you gotta tell it.
Carnegie Hall.
That's the one.
I'm the first rapper ever. Full Philharmonic Orchestra. One night with Wyclef. Everybody is there, and I reroute everybody's music. Destiny Child, they there. Stevie Wonder, he there. Whitney Houston, she's there. Charlotte Church, she's there. Eric Clapton, he there. Third, and everybody came for me. Because I wanted to redefine Carnegie Hall, because I felt like when I was younger, mm-hmm. I felt like that hall was intimidating to like us. Like they felt like we couldn't be in that hall. So literally, and so when you look at this Wyclef and Friends at Carnegie Hall, my front band is all kids. So literally the oldest one is 16. So, and I was calling them Clef kids because in high school as a jazz major, you know what I'm saying? I felt like I was super advanced. So at Carnegie Hall, I bought all of these kids and I gave them that chance. You know what I'm saying to you? And a little bit of hip hop history. My first music video ever, I was an extra for Eric B. and Rakim. Mm-hmm. Upright bass. Mm-hmm. Don't sweat the technique.
Mm-hmm. That's me. Hard.
That's me playing.
That's hard, man.
That's crazy. Right?
And I got it because I knew the fingering of the upright, right? Because I played uprights.
I was going to say that. Did the clef come from the clef note?
Huh? Man, what's crazy, man, my dad was a theologian, man. He was just a R.I.P. to him, but he was just, like, religious crazy. So So Wyclef John, he actually named me after the Reformatator, the first translation of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John by Wyclef John from England, who inspired the Lutheran doctrines later. Oh, wow. So that's how the nigga named me Wyclef John. So he always thought, like, I would pick up after him and be a minister or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you're doing it.
I got it.
Yeah, different vibrations. Yeah.
Being the first one to do Carnegie Hall, I don't know if you've noticed that everybody's doing that now. I just hosted something for Wale at the Kennedy Center where he did a live band. Tip just did a live orchestra. Yeah.
So you Nas go back. Did a live orchestra. Go back.
Everybody's doing it now. So you was the first one to ever do that.
And then not only being at Carnegie Hall is one thing, but the orchestration, writing all the sheet music, like I'm saying, like
for each instrument.
Yeah, and then being a conductor.
Hold on, let me run it back, man. You don't know how hard that is. You wrote the music.
Yeah, not
for
I wrote
each instrument. Yeah.
You write the music in every, like if I'm doing a Bach piece, I'm gonna construct it from backwards to forward. Because I hear it a different way.
I'm just going to say, as a conductor, when you up there, you know when the flute's off, you know when the clean.
Yeah,
you know
so if I'm doing, So shout out actually to my music teacher from high school, because she the one that literally started teaching me how to read music and get into it. So that's really me. Like at the end of the day, I was that kid from the hood that could defy anything. I didn't want to do what the average was doing. It's almost like a nigga who pick up a golf stick, right? And they go, well, you're not supposed to wear this jacket. It's green. It's a master's jacket because of the color of your skin. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like the reason why he's amped like that, a composer is not addition or subtraction. It's like calculus. Like you're doing the highest level of math and you're moving it real time.
You got to put all this shit together.
It comes from him.
And make it sound
as one. Yeah, one sound.
Make it one sound like that.
So when you hear Gone to November?
Yeah.
Okay, so Gone to November, that's the Philharmonic Orchestra now. Wow. So I did, so again, that's a hip-hop record with a symphony in it. So I put orchestra inside of hip-hop music. So there's all this stuff that I do and continue to do.
probably just got to talk about it more. Because niggas be capping.
911 send you a thank you letter for that goddamn song you wrote? Someone please call 911.
Yo, you know how hurt you had to be, nigga, to call 911 knowing them police be killing people? That's crazy. Like, you like still show up. Yeah.
So how do you look at it now? Because just hearing about you saying you're a composer, because I love music. Like, that's my passion. So just to hear people takes on, you know, certain levels when it comes to the music, when you say, I'm a composer, when it was important at a time when you had to learn to read music, you had to know all 12 scales.
I'm about to put you up on that.
You got to know it. And then now you see that it's computerized and motherfuckers can cheat it. And it's not really, if somebody would put some xylophone sticks in your hand and be like, play me these 12 scales, they'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I can
ask you. How do you try to like manage that and be like, you know what, and still keep your authenticity on it?
So the first part of the orchestration comes from your head.
Right.
Yes. James Brown, one of the greatest composers.
Right.
He ain't play an instrument. You could look at the nigga and be like, this the part. The bass gonna go like this. Right? Yeah. So again, nothing is gonna be, a nigga could cheat as much as he want, but a nigga who got, you got the shit in your head, then you can tell the computer what to do. So man versus machine, is the AI smarter than you or are you smarter than the AI, right? So, cause if you smarter than the AI, what you're gonna do is in your brain, you'd be like, I got a freaking orchestra here, I got a bass man, I got a guitar, I got these background vocals, but in your brain, though, it's already here. Mm-hmm. And then so the computer, you could go on freaking arcade, and you'd be like, okay.
I can switch it up as many times.
Exactly, because it's already in your brain. So nothing beats the orchestra. So nothing beats the composer. So it don't matter if it's a computer or a nigga. I always say that if anyone's complaining, like a nigga be like, oh, nigga can cheat. He can, yeah, but the computer can't write 911. It just can't. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no matter,
I don't care.
Try to take
look,
your voice.
I wish I could be like, if I knew that there was something, because it was already in my head. Right. So if I had a program where I could have grabbed that and saved me 5 minutes, I would have just did that. But if it's not here, then it would happen. You know, because I learned that from Michael Jackson, being in the studio with him. And how he moves his body, you know, drumming and just every sound that he's hearing. Okay. And the orchestra come from your head. And I always say, technology, my man, every tech that you see, we are the Asiatic. There's nothing that is out there underneath the sun that's not us. So a plug-in, before the shit was a plug-in, it was from a patch bay. And from the patch bay, it was converted, like we, so it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? At the end of the day, without the human being, nothing is possible. So it's like, we got to push ourselves.
No, we could do this all day. But we are huge Michael Jackson fans. We got to get that Michael Jackson story.
So Michael Jackson, I remember.
I made that Sharpie, too.
I remember I was coming off tour, and then my phone goes off,
right?
And when my phone go off, like, hello, it's Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. And
you gave him a little bit more bass in it, boy.
They said Mike's voice was deep, for real.
It was.
Yeah. <exactly.
laughs> So Michael hits me, but in the hood, man, we, like, I'm a pranker. So I'm always fucking around with my friends. We always playing around.
Right.
So, and I was like, yo, get the fuck out of here. And I hung up on Michael Jackson.
God damn.
Yeah. I hung up on Mike.
Man.
Yeah.
Everybody say, I would have hung up on Mike ass too, man. Get the fuck out of here. You ain't no Michael Jackson.
Exactly.
Sing,
man.
Billie Jean then, nigga.
Yo, man.
I'm not gonna do this.
Yo, this dude, yo, and then Michael calls back. And I ain't gonna lie to y'all niggas.
He calls back.
And Michael's like, hello. And when my brain computed,
That was
Michael. My voice reversed. I was like, hello, Mr. Michael. Yo, my voice.
Yo,
my voice was reversed.
Oh, my
God. Yo. And then he told me he was in some country in Asia, and this song came in, Gone right. to November. Mm-hmm. And then he saw the orchestra.
Right.
And then he told his people, who was that? And then he got my number and he had to call me. And he said, yo, I'm going to be in New York and I want you to come to the studio. And
you know
it was freaking.
How much power that is to get a nigga number back then? Like, just the beat, like, hey, who is that? Get his number for me.
Yeah.
At a random Asia. Country in Asia. Asia.
I think a nigga got to leave to go find him.
Give me his number.
I got to go outside.
Like, what?
The worst. They had to call the whole phone book. Yeah, I'm trying to get in touch with Wyclef. Wyclef?
Nigga.
That's crazy,
you
bro.
You want to over Mike?
Yeah, so he definitely, when I got in with him, again, just the short time that I spent with him, it was like a whole day. He literally changed my perception. Mm-hmm. And it was like, that's how I knew, like, whatever you do, just keep doing what you do. Because
right.
yes, people are going to find you.
Right. Yes, sir.
They're going to find you.
Now, before you go, we got to talk about this Netflix documentary that they did on your life. Like, what is that and when can we look forward to seeing it? And
yeah, man. So Netflix is doing an animation film on Prince of Port-au-Prince, which is me. We talk about how you escape poverty through imagination.
Oh, that's
so
dope.
It's on the level of like a Rio, a Lion King.
Because mm-hmm.
I wanted my first film to be about that village, like what we talked about. Because when you see shit from the eye of a kid, it's not like from the eye of an adult. You know what I'm saying? So so all I could do is tell you is when y'all watch this, make sure y'all bring your children with y'all, your little niece, cut, and then be like, yeah, this is a real dude. Like, he literally is from the hut. So anything that you want to do, you can do. I'm very excited, too, about what that score going to be for that. So I'm working, as we speak, with choirs in Haiti, kid choirs in Haiti. I'm also working with a conductor who's working with these kids building an orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids are in the village. So they're getting instruments and they're building. So a lot of this score, I want it to be like on the level of Lion King, right? My ultimate dream, man, is to be in the Oscars with all those Haitian kids from that village playing these instruments and going crazy. And I'm gonna cry if that happens.
You said it now, on this cast, so it's gonna happen.
Because I'm a host. Yeah. I'm a host.
That's right, say.
One thing we got to do before we get you out of here, Wyclef, yeah. You got to sign our table for us.
Okay,
man. Anything you want to leave him
you
with?
You got to go, man. Why the fuck? Why? What would you got to do out here? Hey, man.
Anywhere you want.
Who we got next? Fuck him.
Oh, that's a dope instrumental.
J-O-N okay. made that.
That's hard. Let that play. I got you. I'm going to ride with you. Yeah. I can rhyme. You can hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, remember I tell you I used to battle rap?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm the one.
Yeah.
I know what you thinking, me too. But in my game of numbers, they could only be a few. I'm the Trinity. Guess the riddle, kid. One man on two sticks, what's that? The crucifix. That's what they taught me in Sunday school. Forgive my foes. Fives pointed at Pinocchio's nose. If this six go to seven, that's the number of completion. Adam ate the apple, so they cast him from the Garden of Eden. Jealousy got him waving his nine. Cain kills Abel, he a ten man. You know his heart pumps oil. Two ones ain't enough to make it rain. Microphone check, one, two. Rap lives in my vein. I'm from the era, dudes scrap with their hands. Play Friday the 13th, get Cobra Clef to body slam. But my nephews don't use their hands. It's M14, M15, Guns and Roses. Pointed at your sweet 16 and I was born on October 17. That's the day they killed my leader, Jean-Jacques Dessalines. Mama told me there's monsters under my bed, they 18. Think Malcolm X the 19th, that was my enemy. 2020 vision, say the good die young. I had to trick death, that's how I made it past 21.
Let's go. You know I want to get my toss back. Chico, I got to get my toss back.
I told you, bro.
Black on black.
Nah, I got this.
Oh, okay.
That's going to look crazy.
Oh, man. I can go home now. Yeah, I'm going home.
Bro, that's crazy. Already.
That's love, bro.
I'm
that's
going crazy.
Wide
man.
Left, young.
Going,
young
going,
one.
Sir.
Let's get a
go ahead. Go ahead.
That's crazy.
That was all right there. I finally got my favorite episode.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the #1 recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids? Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic. Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a 1-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back. Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give Love and Logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.